Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos, and we want to welcome everybody on back here. And we're going to go ahead and start now for the Sunday school hour. I'm going to go ahead and just quickly adjust. Apparently, we're having a little unique with our exposure here with our video camera. So give me 1 second, y'all, before we continue here for the Sunday school hour. I'm going to go ahead and zoom in just a little bit more. And then let's see if we can fix this here. 1 second, y'all. There we go. Maybe that'll fix it. Okay. All right, we're going to continue now, guys, within our Sunday school hour. We're going through the Green Book, A Sure Foundation. And today we're going to continue on our part one of the Unchangeable God, the Unchangeable God. So if you have your study book with me, let's go ahead and open up together now to page number 37. And again, I just want to remind for those of you that are watching us online and those of you guys that are in-house, you can find the material. I unfortunately was unable to post the link in the description link. However, this book is published by Brother James W. Knox from the Bible Baptist Church of DeLand, Florida. And you can locate this book by searching on their bookstore and type in the search engine, A Sure Foundation. Predominantly, a lot of our materials are coming from that ministry and other ministries in that area. So we just want to give credit where credit is due. Okay, so page number 37, The Unchangeable God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to come here to assemble and to congregate. God, I pray that you would continue to teach us and grow us and minister to us through the material that we are going to learn from studied men, but ultimately that we can believe the Bible and that the knowledge we gain will help us and instruct us to not only change our lives or correct our perceptions of you, but that it'll help us to help others change as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, the Unchangeable God, we're on page number 37. In this lesson, Brother James says, we want to take up the fact that God is eternal and unchangeable. For those of you that have been joining us for our Sunday school hour, that's what we were discussing these past couple of Sunday schools, is the attributes of God, that he is eternal and that he is unchangeable as it pertains to his character. Not only that, church, but remember, we were studying that too for our Friday night discipleship class as it pertains to the character of God, that he is a compassionate God, he is a merciful God, a long-suffering God, and gracious. We've been discussing that, those eternal attributes and the characteristic traits of God, they're unchangeable. While God works according to the laws of time, in the sense that it takes time for him to work out his plan, there is no danger that lack of time will hinder him, for he has an eternity in which to work. The greatest men have often been forced to abandon their most cherished plans because their powers began to decay. But God never grows old. The Lord is never tired. Jehovah never sleeps. His purposes are everlasting purposes. He has an eternity in which to work them out. And for this reason, we may fail to understand his plans, since all we see in an entire lifetime is a tiny glimpse of the whole working of God in his creation. We may fail to see his movements. But let's consider these matters of God being eternal and God being unchangeable. So let's go now to our first reference in Psalms chapter 90, and then we'll go to Genesis chapter number 1. Psalms chapter 90, and then Genesis chapter 1. We are going to see where the Bible declares and describes this attribute of God that we are talking about this afternoon, that he is an eternal God. And because he is an eternal God, thereby, by default, he is unchangeable as it pertains to certain attributes or characteristic traits that are revealed of us, I'm sorry, that are revealed unto us of God through the Bible. So the first one here, Psalms chapter 90, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And so it's very important for us Christians to remind ourselves that the God that we worship, he is an eternal God. He is an unchangeable God. And according to these verses that help us to understand that and that describe these truths to us, he is the creator of the creation. He is outside of the space-time continuum. What does that mean? He is outside of space, time, and matter. He is the creator of all space, time, and matter. And so it's really important for us to grasp these things. A God who is limited by space, time, and matter is not a God at all. Because by default, as we define God, God must exercise his not only his nature, his existence, outside of anything that could be limited by space, time, or anything that is in existence. God has to be the creator of all those things. He cannot be withheld by the limitations within that which is already created. So the God of the Bible, the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Almighty Jehovah says he is the creator and he is everlasting. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 now. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So we have multiple verses that we can show you from the Bible that God declares to be an eternal person outside of that which he created, and by default, from his very eternal existence, all things were created from him. They were created by him, and by that power, of course, he is the master over his creation, the ruler. He is the one who can, who has the decrees, if you will, the laws that he set forth over the universe. Now, some may say, what part of heaven did God come from? Oh, no. Heaven came from God. People say, where on earth did God come from? Mm-mm-mm. Earth came from God. People worship trees and rocks, or they take stones and tree trunks and carve them into images, and then they worship these images. These people are cheating and deceiving and shortchanging themselves. God is not an image of something in his creation. God is not a part of nature. God is not a man or like a man or an invention of man, for all those things came from God. God is the everlasting, as we remember from Psalm 90, from everlasting to everlasting, the Bible says, thou art God. So before the mountains and before the earth and before the world, God was, and what he was, he is. One day, Moses asked God, when the people ask what your name is, what shall I tell them? And here's what this eternal God revealed unto Moses regarding his character. Let's go to Exodus 3 and his name. Let me put that in there, his name. Exodus 3, here's what he asked him. Moses said unto God in verse 13, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And here's what God said unto Moses in verse 14, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. How about that? So our God is, though he remains invisible, he is the only wise God, and there is no other God. To the one true God belongs all the honor and all the glory, power, and forever and ever. The Bible says that God is the King eternal. Let's go ahead and read now 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy 1, here's what we read in verse number 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Brother James says he doesn't know what part of the world, for those of us that are reading this book today, may live in. But in your area, there have been kings at some time or another. A king has ruled over your part of the world. There may be a king there now. There may have been a king who lived and has passed away. But you know the man that is reigning now is not the king who was reigning two or three centuries ago. He is not the king who was reigning 2,000 years ago. He is not the king who was reigning there 100 years ago. Because those kings were men, they died. Their reign and their mortal existence came to an end. This is not true of God, however. God was king before the earth. Look at King Eternal. He was king before the world. He was king before the mountains were brought forth, When all heaven and earth have passed away, God will still be king. He is the king, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. That's very good. Let's go quickly to Isaiah chapter number 45. This is not in your notes. This is Brother Carlos. Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 45. This is real important when we discuss God, that is the God of the Bible, in relation to the gods of cultures, the gods of men, the gods of religions that have been established and or created by man, if you will. And what we're going to see here from the Bible is, where did God declare that he is the only true God? And as he is revealing this and conversing this about himself, that there is none other, let's go ahead and read for ourselves now a portion of scripture regarding somebody who claims to be from eternity. If there are any of the other supposed gods that existed in an eternal time frame as well, then clearly this God, who cannot lie according to the Bible, will agree that those gods do indeed exist. But if they don't, God by default has all the power and the ability to witness and to testify from an outside space perspective, if you will, outside of time perspective, if you will. I am the only one that's here. There is no other God before me. There is no God after me. And that's what we're going to read real quick here in Isaiah 45. Hope you're following along with me within your own Bible. You can hopefully continue to build your mental muscles there of Scripture. So let's go here to Isaiah chapter 45, and let's see here in verse number 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. So look, Isaiah 45, 5, there is no God beside me. So there goes the gods of the Gentile peoples. That's any human being on the earth that has a natural birth, ethnic, or ethnicity that traces all the way back to Adam and Eve, the sons of Adam and Eve, who are not of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, for example, Brother Carlos, I come from, my descendants are from Mexico, specifically a people called the Yaqui people, and they worshipped, obviously, multiple creatures, if you will, or things of the creation, whether it was the star, the moon, the sun. They ascribed to these objects within the creation something divine, as they equated within their rationale and their conscience at the time, that gives us light, or that gives us life, the light source of power, the sun. And other cultures as well, people who have descendants from Africa, people who have descendants from other Indians or native Indians within our continents, etc. You guys understand what we're talking about, where those people have established religions, they have established those that God-given innate knowledge that there is someone greater than themselves. But what they did was, unfortunately, transferred that internal knowledge of that there is an eternal God, and they transpose it unto something created. And so that's where the rocks or the trees or the river or, again, the imaginations of man ran well to ascribe that truth that they possess, that God, the God of the Bible, gave them, Romans 1, and then they transfer that over to something else. But here's where we go to, Isaiah 45. He said, there is nobody else. He says here, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord. There is none else. You see there? Let's continue to go down here in verse number 8. Drop down, ye heavens, from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Verse number 9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Who is the maker? The Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's continue to go down here to verse number 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways, etc., etc. Keep going down here. Verse number, let's continue here together. Verse number 16, they shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. And as we continue to go down here in verse number 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. So, guys, there's a lot more verses you guys can read here. Verse number 21, he says, There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me, as you guys can see there. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And so that's the gospel message, if you will, that we would today, in our time frame that we are in, post Jesus Christ coming to the earth, dying, raising from the dead the third day, and going back to heaven. We, as Christians, are sent by Jesus Christ now, the Son of God, to go into the world and to preach and to proclaim the God of the Bible is the one true God. And he is commanding and he is inviting all of you on this earth to believe in him, because there is none else. You can't trust your river God. You can't trust your sun God, your moon God. The Hindus, if I'm not mistaken, they got a million gods plus, etc. Again, all the peoples of the earth have whatever they fashion as God. But God said, in eternity, I am the only one. I'm the only creator. And by default, I'm the only one who can save your soul. Amen. So please start studying your Bible more on these aspects of who is in eternity. And then hence from that position, obviously God can testify to the truths of the creation. Number two, God is self-existent. We get our life originally from God. There is the union of a man and a woman, but it is God who causes life to begin within the womb of a woman. There could be no formation of any living thing without God. Let's go to Psalms 139, 13. Psalms 139, 13. And again, hope you have a Bible open. You can be following along and working out your spiritual muscles on where Scripture is. Psalms 139, verse number 13. The Bible says here, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Do you see that? Notice here, there was a me before there was a birth, and God causes that life to begin. Once again, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. In the womb, by the miraculous working of God, the baby is being formed and developed. After it is born, it gains life and strength from the God who gave it breath. We are not self-existent, but God is. God did not get his life from you. No, he does not stay alive by something you provide him. It is just the other way around. God is the one who gives you life, breath, movement of being, etc. Remember, I am that I am hath sent you, is what he told Moses. Let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And let's read together here in verse number 26 through verse number 27. The Bible says here in verse number 26 through 27, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." The Bible says that God has life in himself. You get life from God. Physical life, spiritual life, either one is received as a gift from God. God receives his life from no one, because he is life himself. All right, let's quickly go to 1 John 1. Hope you can turn your Bible there with me, 1 John 1. And let's read together now. This is just Brother Carlos once again, not in your study book notes. When we talk about the life of men, or the light of men, by default, if the God of Israel claims through the revelations given unto his prophets, and he preserved them perfectly throughout time, we have a book now with all those scriptures compiled into one source, so we can now study the very things and thoughts from the Creator. That must mean he has a part to play within every human being that is born into this world, regardless of where on the earth they are born physically on. In other words, it's not just this limitation to the nation of Israel, and then hence from them as a people, this source of truth is to be brought forth to the world. No, this is a truth that the Bible claims that is universal. Every single baby in the womb right now that is being conceived, whether they are Christian or non-Christian by religious belief or religious association, regardless, just by them and their very existence, when they procreate, because that's been given the ability to the first man and woman, if you will, Adam and Eve, that has been passed upon all men. All men or women generally have the ability or capability to procreate, that life-developing process in each of those wombs, according to the God of the Bible, God forms that baby. And number two, God gives each of those babies, as soon as they're born into this world, a knowledge of good and evil, a knowledge of himself, that he exists. You can read that in Romans chapter 1. But look at here concerning the light of life, the light of men. Why is it important for Jesus Christ to be then the completion of man's existence, or hence the soul and the knowledge that God desires for each man to have of himself? Because he is the Son of God. And the way that Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not only confirmed that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was his son by what he taught, that is in his doctrine, but he confirmed it through the resurrection. So because this man was risen from the dead the third day, that's how the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob affirmed, number one, to the nation of Israel, this was the Messiah, this was truly my begotten son. But number two, to the rest of us Gentiles in the world, this is the way to God. This is the way that we can access the true God. This is the way that we can believe on the true God by trusting in this man. His name is Jesus. Now look at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, watch this, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So how does mankind right now have the ability to access this eternal life with an eternal relationship with an eternal God? They got to come to Jesus Christ. He is the means. He is the road, if you will. He is the bridge. He is the mediator between us, the creature, and the creator, as it pertains to a relationship that can last for eternity. This is how the God of the Bible has declared, and within his prerogative, within the counsel of the Godhead, so saw fit to do this, or if you will, the means of our salvation and the hope to come through his Son, Jesus Christ. Number three, God not only has life in himself, but he gives life to whomsoever he wills. He even gives eternal life to those who will believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to John 6. John 6. And let's read together here in verse number 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. You guys see there? The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So here we have Jesus Christ is declaring as a man there in Israel that bread that was in type, if you will. It was a metaphor back in the day as God dealt with the nation of Israel and, you know, the manna during the Exodus wandering. This bread, he is now applying to himself, just like it gave them physical life to preserve them physically. Here is he which was given to you. He is the one that gives life. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And let's go down here to verse number... I apologize. Not Acts 10. John 10. Sorry. John chapter 10. And then let's go here to verse number 27. Jesus said here that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. What image of stone, what church, what religion, what man, what idol has life in itself? That's a very good question. And if you have a study book, we're on page 39. If not, that's all right. Not a man. And my friend, what image, what idol, what church, what man, what religion can give you eternal and everlasting life? I say there is not a one. But God in heaven, manifest in the flesh, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the true and living God. He is the one who has life in himself. He is the one who is eternal life. He is the one who can and will give you eternal life if you will trust him as your personal Savior. Aren't you glad for that? Now, just a quick reminder and encouragement. How many of you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Anybody? According to Jesus Christ now, since the Father hath life in himself, remember, he's eternal. The Son of God hath life in himself, eternal. When you and I, as temporal creatures, put our faith in an eternal person, this eternal God offers you in return eternal life. Once you have been given eternal life, friend, you will never lose that eternal life. Aren't you glad for that? That's why, friend, I know that there are a lot of doctrinal teachings from the past 2,000 years of Christianity about salvation. People believe that one can lose it. People have to preserve it, whatever the case might be. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. I'm going to encourage you to trust your life-giving eternal God. When he said, believe in me, and I'll give you eternal life, you'll never perish, then believe that. That's all I can say. I can't correct every single assembly on the planet with a Bible verse. It is what it is. We're going to have to talk to the Lord about it. But I'm glad that when I believe the Bible as given to me, preserved to me, and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I have been given eternal life. I will never perish. I am so glad for that, friend. That's what the gospel is. Okay, before we close, page 40, God is unchangeable, both in essence, that is, what he is, and in character, that is, what he does. Let's repeat that one more time. God is unchangeable, both in essence, that is, what he is, and in character, what he does. The Bible illustrates this in several places. Let's go to James 1. We're just going to touch on these quickly. James 1. And let's go down here to verse number 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Men are varied. What does that mean? Their opinions vary. They come in various shapes and forms. There are many variations of a certain theme of music, for example. If something varies, what does that ultimately mean? Is that it differs. It changes. It is not the same all the way through. It is not the same in the end as it was in the beginning. But the Bible says that with the Father there is no variableness. So what does that mean, church? He does not change. And in the last book reference here, Malachi 3, and then we'll close with our Sunday school hour. Malachi 3, verse number 6. God says, this just simply and understandably as you could ever want it, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, your sons of Jacob are not consumed. So as we conclude this Sunday school lesson, what did we learn today? That the attribute of God, speaking of his eternal existence, he has the right and the power by default to declare the truth of the creation. We showed you in Isaiah 45 that there is no other God beside him. He said he looked, and there ain't. That's what he says. I looked. There is none beside me. And we know now, again, because of New Testament revelation, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has always existed as a triunity or a trichotomy. There is a Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. The Word, his name is Jesus, his human name, if you will. So now, since there's always been three in existence, and they all partake in the being of God, they all have eternal, if you will, they're eternal in nature. When Jesus Christ came to this earth and declared to be God and declared to be the only way to his Father, he was not lying because he always existed. And so that's what we believe in as Christians, and that's very important for you to understand that within your Christian doctrine. And so to encourage you today, when you put your faith in him and he said he gave you eternal life, you have eternal life right now. You're not going to lose it. Praise God. You don't have to worry about, if you will, falling out of eternal grace. No. You are preserved because that's the word and the promise that the Father gave his Son to all who would believe. Amen. Comments, questions on what we talked about today? Okay, thank you for coming to Sunday School. Let's go ahead and take a 15-minute break, and we'll get ready for Sunday service. The Lord bless. Wow, great.